Hey, friend. Thanks for tuning in today. Today's episode is a look at what is going on with independent retail shops right now. I sat down with my friend Jen from Tiny Turns Papery. She's one of our Paper Camp speakers and a longtime advocate for small businesses. And we talk honestly about some of the hardships that shop owners have been facing during 2025, everything from operational curveballs to tariffs and other things that have impacted the way they do business. We did get into some specifics about unpredictable buying patterns, last-minute shopping, the rise of treat-yourself and community-driven products. We also talked about some of the less glamorous stuff that go into running a brick and mortar, like inventory delays, tariffs, shipping headaches, and things like that. And I think it's important for you to hear today's episode because the things that the indie buyers and the brick and mortar shops are navigating do impact how they're doing business with you too. So Jen's perspective is invaluable as always. And you'll hear specifically how she's possibly adjusting her buying, why planners are hot right now, and why she's focusing on collaboration across indie businesses to really strengthen customer loyalty. So anyhow, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. It was a favorite to record. I really just enjoy talking to Jen and hearing how things are going there. And if you want ongoing analysis like this about trends, data, systems, sales and marketing strategies for your product-based business, come join us in Labs. We break down what's happening across the industry and help you apply it directly to your business. You can learn more at prooftoproduct.com/labs. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/labs. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Jen, welcome back to Proof to Product.
Hey, great to be back.
I'm so happy to have you. So just for our listeners here, you have been on the show several times talking about your experiences running a brick and mortar store and what you're looking for as a buyer. You've also been one of our Paper Camp coaches. So you are always so generous and encouraging. And I just want to thank you for supporting our community the way you do.
Oh, yeah. It's so great. I love stationary people. I love product-based businesses, independent retail. Like everyone that I've met through this journey has been really great.
Awesome. Well, thank you for what you do to contribute back. Because I mean, I think that's what makes this industry so special is just how people give. And it comes from a sincere place of caring and wanting to make things better. So thank you for that. Also, for our listeners, I'll link up your past episodes in the show notes so they can listen to you there. But today, I kind of wanted to get your feedback. It's been a while since you and I have chatted one-on-one. I know we've done like the Paper Camp calls and stuff like that. But I wanted to get your feedback on the state of retail, what you're seeing and hearing from other buyers, like what your community of brick and mortar buyers are talking about. But first, why don't you tell us about your store, where you're located, what you sell, and who your core customer is?
Yeah. So my business is Tiny Turns Papery. We're based in Somerville, Massachusetts, which is just north of Boston. We're about like 800 square feet. So not super tiny like we were when we first started out, but also not a very large store by any means. And we carry an array of stationery and gift products. So our core line has always been, and I can't see it changing, cards, greeting cards, and pens, journals, and those kinds of things. But we also do have a lot of giftable things for the home. And we have a small but mighty kid and pet section.
And I love that that's grown so much for you.
Yeah. And it's been super fun. And we have like a lot of little home accessories and like body care products in the shop as well.
That's awesome. Okay, so we're recording this December 2025, and it's been a wild year for independent businesses, for US politics, for the economy, all of the things. And so what I like to dive into when we do this kind of stuff is like, how is it directly impacting the shops, right? Because what's impacting the shops is going to impact people selling wholesale or people selling their products. And so I guess my question to start this off is like, what changes have you noticed in your customers' behavior and their buying behavior?
In terms of my customers, I have noticed an erratic amount of patterns. So
break them down for me.
Yeah, it's just not predictable. And so like, I would love to be able to say, hey, this has changed in this way. But I think what happens is that people are definitely being a little bit more conservative in terms of like talking about, hey, we're getting together with our friends and we're just doing a Secret Santa this year instead of everybody getting each other's gifts, like specifically to the holiday season, it feels that way. But I think throughout the year, because what's been erratic and unpredictable for us has also been erratic and unpredictable for our customers, there'll be like little bursts of like, I don't know if it's like, we just need a release or we just need to celebrate something. And so we've had little pops like that, that have gotten us through.
And by that, you mean that they're coming in and buying more just in random exactly, times yeah. around no specific event?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. For like a celebration kind of thing or a support sort of thing, or to like really connect a little bit more in a way that feels like a little less easy to like sense a pattern in as a retailer, but it's really nice as like a community member to see people showing up for each other and doing those kinds of things a little bit more. And then there's been a lot more treat yourself moments, I think, that I've been seeing with our regulars. So folks that are looking for something to like take their mind off of stress at work or stress of not having work or something more analog to do, I guess. So games, puzzles, a lot of the kinds of games that make people do things together, it feels like they've been a little bit more popular, like getting to know you type of things seem to be activities that at least in my neighborhood, folks have been a little bit more interested in.
Yeah, I guess I should caveat this conversation with you're sharing what you're seeing in your neck of the woods and exactly. also general conversation. So you're not speaking for all buyers across the world, but
yeah.
Okay, so this is good intel. Like, I mean, on one hand, it's probably refreshing to see that there's these different ways that people are utilizing your store and purchasing for themselves and things. But at the same time, it's a little less predictable than it has been in past years where it's like, okay, we know holiday season's going to look like this or we can bank on this. I mean, we know people are last minute in general during the holidays, but it sounds like people are even later this year on seasonal items. Is that correct?
Yeah. Like we usually have a couple of people who are starting to think about things like at least between Halloween and Thanksgiving to start, like, even if they're not buying, they're coming in and asking about different ideas for gifts. And we haven't seen as much foot traffic. So I think that's the biggest thing that has been more predictable. There's just fewer people coming into the stores. And that's always a little bit hard to like wrap our heads around. And, you know, we're a pretty connected community. So I think that that is pretty nationwide. Like I'm in a couple of different groups with independent shopkeepers where we just send each other Instagram, like vent about shipping delays or like paperwork that we don't understand and different things that can go wrong just in the course of running a small business day.
Yeah.
And it feels like there are fewer people coming in on a regular basis and that like a big day feels less frequent than it used to. And the touristy stores didn't feel as many tourists coming in and that sort of thing during the summer. So I feel like everybody's a little bit more like hands clenched on the holiday this year than we have been in the past couple years.
I would agree with you. And I think from the product side, folks are seeing that too. Like we're seeing the ripple effect, right? Of we know that you guys are seeing a slower season of consumers coming in and buying. And therefore, that's also kind of skewing how you're, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah.
Is that skewing how you're purchasing from the brands that you buy products from for your store?
Yes. I mean, cash flow is always a hard thing, even in a good year. And then this year, we had the added stress of tariffs. So that has been at various times throughout the year, either so confusing and not actually impacting yet, but like people were preparing for it and not knowing. So perhaps they were buying some of the things that we can only get from overseas a little bit earlier in the year and spent down the budget before they could spend it with some of the other indie retailers where we used to, because we were trying to get things in before there was like an August 31st deadline. And then there's also just been tariffs on things we weren't expecting there to be tariffs on and things that like trickle through. And even I know some of our makers we've been working with to try and figure out like, what can we do about this? And that's just budget. So like if things cost a third more than they used to, then we're buying a third less. Like,
yeah.
So
yeah.
It's just how the math maths, I guess.
It is as simple as that, right? I mean, it's cash flow, it's budget, it's also space in your store and what you have capacity for. It's what the end consumer is doing, their buying behaviors and how they're shifting too. It's a lot to consider and it's a lot to constantly be strategizing. I mean, do you feel decision fatigue from this year? I know our brands do. I know our brands feel decision fatigue of trying to like I don't want to say game the system, but to your point of like preparing and ordering things ahead of time to beat deadlines and things like that. How are you feeling about all that? Are you tired? It's been a long year.
Yeah, I'm definitely exhausted. And I feel like kind of raw in a way that I haven't since the pandemic, honestly, yeah, because the same. Only yeah. time that's been kind of familiar is when we couldn't be open at all. And we were just trying to figure out what to do. But I think the other thing that I wasn't expecting was how much paperwork it would be to just understand how much I'm paying. I've had shipments that should not have been held up for any reason, held for several days, asking for paperwork that I didn't know that I had to fill out, that the brand didn't know what it was. And we're like trying to negotiate with whichever shipper it is that's holding it somewhere. And there have been a couple of times where it's been sent back. So there are a few times where like something that I ordered in February went all the way back to where it started from before it could come back to me. And so then by the time I got it, it was July.
Oh my gosh, Jen.
So
what a nightmare.
Yeah. And like every shipper has a different procedure and it's all very confusing. So like UPS will, if there's something on it, you have to either pay your driver a check and they arrive and there's no invoice. So you're just like looking at the thing on their little handheld and writing the check. And then sometimes you get an invoice after the fact that says that you didn't pay. And then you have to spend the time on hold to like say, hey, I paid this because I have the stuff, because you won't give me the stuff unless I pay it. Because if you don't pay the check right away, then they take it back to UPS and then maybe send you an invoice at some point. And then you get your thing back. And it either is just sitting on the truck the whole time or back in the warehouse. Or if it takes too long, it gets sent back. And there's four international shippers that we work with regularly, and they all have slightly different methods. And it's a little bit hard to figure out how to track it. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and from the brand side, I know that everyone was, I mean, every day new news was coming out about these tariffs and what the rate was and how it was going to be collected. Like, there was no continuity or clarity around how it was going to be rolled out and how people were supposed to handle it. And so it's helpful, I think, for folks to hear what you were dealing with on your end. And thank goodness it was just four shippers. I mean, what if there was like more companies that were doing things differently? That would be awful. But I mean, okay, Jen, honest talk here. Like, that's a lot of extra headache and hoops to jump through. Did that change who you wanted to purchase from? And obviously, this says nothing about the brands that were sending you the products or the quality of their products. This is like a third party that's making the process so difficult. Well, really, more than just a third party. But like, I have to imagine that that friction may create some like, should I even order this? Questions in the back of your head.
Yeah. I don't think I consciously was doing that until very recently, because now we're at the point where, okay, people are buying things. I need more things. So I can only get stuff that can come quick. And that I can 100% understand how much it's going to cost, which basically restricts me to like products from US makers that are shipping from the US. So at least for now, because it's December 5th to the end of the year, that's how it is. I would love to say that it didn't really affect a lot of things, but in the sense that it took so much time, because there, I think other small businesses, because I don't think a lot of people know that some of our other products that come from, say, Germany, or some of our big products, like, say, Leuchtturm's or whatever, they're a bad example to use because I've had zero problems with them. But they're a small business based in New Jersey that's importing Leuchtturm's and working with them, with the maker, and they can handle that kind of thing. And that's been pretty seamless. But there are a lot of smaller family-owned or mini companies that are like, say, based out of San Francisco that bring in a lot of our Japanese products, or based in Ohio that have like some of the Italian and German pens. And I haven't been able to get them to tell me whether or not all the things that are impacting me when I buy directly are impacting them, but they've been clearly having problems too. Yeah. And so that for sure.
Just so you know, it is impacting them. They are impacted for sure. So,
So like they haven't said it out loud, but I'm assuming that's what it is. But like there have been a lot of problems getting core things in as well. And in those cases, I have been, and I know other stationery businesses have been thinking about or asking or even going directly to the brands in like Germany and being like, is there another way we can get this? Because otherwise we just can't sell your stuff anymore because it's too hard. We can't like buy something in February and not get it until August, and then have already been trying to buy our in August for our December thing, then are unsure if it's going to come. So,
and your cash flow is still tied up in that too.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, that's the biggest payment. You don't have the product to sell. You don't have the cash in your bank anymore. Like, that makes for a real problematic situation.
Yeah.
I think it's helpful for brands listening to hear this because they're doing everything they can in their power, Jen. No, please know that, like, the brands are doing everything they can do in their power to get everything they need and to do it in an orderly way and to make your process as a shop owner so seamless. And it's just, it makes me so upset because all of this, it's not your doing. It's not the brand's doing. It's just these new regulations and these new rules that continue to change are just really negatively impacting the flow of business for our industry. And it's really difficult for everybody.
Yeah. Something that I completely didn't expect at all was there's a brand we really like out of the UK that we bought their puzzles and we had three different shipments with them, no problems. And then one got held in Memphis for like some kind of custom thing with FedEx. And luckily they knew what to do with the form. The brand knew what to do with the form. And so we got it resolved pretty quickly. But they said, yeah, this happens in like one every 10 shipments or whatever it was. I'm like, but why? Why is it not every shipment or none? Like,
or
it doesn't
not at
make
all.
Sense. Yeah.
This is the frustrating part. There's no consistency. There's no continuity of like, okay, here's the process, everybody. Let's just all follow the process and it'll be fine. It's like every time it becomes this pain point for the stores, for the brands, for like everybody involved. And it just, it makes it hard. Like, it's an added layer of friction that no one needs. And it takes you away from the day-to-day work that needs to be done in your shop.
Yeah. And I'm sure that there are some orders that I just didn't put through because of just time. So it had nothing to do with anything other than the fact that like I was spending so much time doing this one thing that I ran out of energy and mental space and then just didn't order that thing until 2 or 3 weeks later when I'm like, oh, that was on my to-do list. And now we are all out of this.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm really sorry you're navigating that. Just know that the brands are trying to do everything in their power they can to like make it as seamless as possible. But they're having their own hiccups as well. And it just stinks for all of us. Okay. Well, you mentioned earlier that like buyers are shopping later. You also mentioned that people are wanting things that are connecting them or like analog type products, puzzles, maybe knitting, crochet type stuff. I don't know. I'm hearing a lot of that stuff is popular, which makes sense to me. I feel like we're all wanting to come together and do things that don't involve screens. But like, I guess, have you seen a shift too in what customers are buying now, aside from some of that analog stuff you mentioned earlier? Are there any other patterns you're seeing with the product side of things and what people are purchasing or asking for?
I think the way in which it's kind of a funny, weird intersection of like people wanting to be less online but are being very influenced by online is planner stuff.
Oh, tell me more about that. I'm curious.
I think like there's a sort of, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I have a little theory that when people feel less like they have control over a lot of things happening around them, then they like kind of try and figure out how to get more organized in one way or another.
Yeah,
and I think in the last few months, maybe that has manifested in a way that has to do with like certain kinds of planners just going viral.
Like, oh, there's
like there's a Japanese planner, Hobonichi, and they always do like a big campaign and launch and that sort of thing. And it just felt wilder this year than other years. And I feel like there were just a lot more. And it could just because of the way algorithms work, because we are the kind of store we are, that's what we see. But like, it did feel like a lot of people coming through and talking about, oh, what kind of planner are you using this year? What do you use this planner for? What's your planner ecosystem? What's your journal ecosystem? So people having different planners for like meal planning, for memory keeping, for actually being organized at work.
That's so cool that they're like into multiple styles for multiple reasons. That's cool.
Yeah. Or like a daily to-do list or this or that. So that has felt like the bigger spike than I've noticed in the past. Because we always do that very seasonally. We have to buy our planners in like February.
So, you know, in Paper Camp, we talk about release schedules and when to release new product and stuff. And people always, I swear they like pass out when they hear me say that like, no, come, you know, early 2026, you'll have to be releasing your 2027 planner and calendar. So like, what? I'm like, yeah, I know. It's a far way out. Okay, so planners have been a hot topic. So talk to me a little bit more about the virality of like some of these social things. Is that influencing what people are coming into your store asking for? Like, are you seeing like bumps and things? And how do you prepare for that? You can't really like get stuff that quickly.
I think Katie Wilson and I have said this before, like, we kind of hate it when things go viral because it's not really possible for like a small shop to stock things in a way that can respond to suddenly everybody coming in wanting this one thing. And I'm like, well, yeah, we had 30 and I don't know when we're going to get 30 more or if we're only going to get 5 more because now everybody wants one. Yeah. So it's hard to know because it always feels like such a gamble to buy, especially if you don't know if it's like the kind of planner or if it's the cover on the planner and how much variety of something to get. And so this year, I'm just glad that it doesn't feel like we'll have a lot left over. So last year for like the 2025 season, I felt it coming and I kind of bought for it. And we had so many left over and that we use them as our tester books now for our pen bar. But yeah, I don't know. I have a good answer for how to plan for it. It's vibes. It's a little bit looking at what we sold before and a little bit vibes.
That's fair. I mean, frankly, that's how a lot of brands are like figuring out what their new release is going to be. It's like, okay, what's working well? Let me do more of that. And what am I also like into that I want to kind of mix into this?
And it used to feel like you could try something like a pre-order, right? To test how much interest there was. But I think because people are scared to pull triggers on a lot of things and they want the instant gratification, that like we haven't had as much success with pre-orders as a way to test what people want.
What do you think about brands doing pre-orders for you?
I think that's great, especially I don't know if I'm representative of a lot of places, but because I understand the making process, I like the idea that there's a little bit of input and also that I can be one of the first people to get something. And I think there are a growing number of people who had various experiences with making and brick and mortar. So I could see that being a successful way to have it. And I think what's nice about my particular support group that we have right now is since we are all dispersed, we're all so down with sending people to each other's shops because there's no reason for me to not be like, oh, buy it online at Pen and Paper Chicago, pencil and paper. Or even I send people down the street all the time or to like one town over because we have a decent amount of overlap, but like we're all so small that like we can't carry everything and we'd rather people be happy and get what they want.
So I love that you're sharing this because if we were to rewind to like 2010, I was exhibiting at a trade show and somebody came into my booth and they were asking about gift wrap. And that was not a product that I was selling. But my friend Claudia from Fig 2 Design was across the way from me. And I said, you got to go talk to Claudia. You got to go see her stuff. It is incredible. And that store went and bought from Claudia, bought her beautiful wrap, and then came back to me and said, you know, I really appreciate you directing me to a place where I could get my needs met, where I could get something I was specifically looking for. And they became a long-term customer of mine, simply because I was helpful in the moment in helping them find whatever it was. And so you're doing the same exact thing with your customers by saying, hey, I don't have that in stock, but I know so-and-so might or this other store might. And I think that kind of community building is what we need right now for indie business, whether it's a brick and mortar shop or the creators and the brands that are making the products. So thank you for doing that and sharing that because I think that's really important. And I think brands listening can be doing that too. If they have something that, you know, they don't make or they're out of stock of, they can direct them to a friend that sells that same thing.
Well, you know, when I first opened the shop, Janine Kuo did that for me because she had just done Paper Camp. And so she introduced me to like everybody in her cohort. She's like, oh, okay. Well, when I called her and told her I was opening a shop, she's like, well, here are all the other cool things that other people I met are making. And that's kind of how we got connected.
Yeah, it is. Janine is the one that connected us. Yeah. Love you, Janine. Thank you. But no, I mean, that's what the industry's about, you know? I mean, that's what we're all doing. Jen, as you're looking ahead for next year, what are you planning for or how are you adjusting your business practices given the wild year that 2025 has been?
That's a good question. And I don't think I know yet. I think I need to like get past a little bit of the rush. Cause on top of just the things that everybody else is going through, there's like the one-off like small business ownership stuff. Like our floors are shot. And we just moved in 2 years ago. So there's no reason why our floor should be shot, but we're going to have to be closed for a week to fix them. No. And so we're trying our best to be closed January 5th to 9th, because that's the best week of the year to be closed. So that means that for the first time ever, we're trying to like fully sell down as much as possible in December. So it's like a little bit of a different, like I'm typically not the shop that like tries to be bare on December 31st. Like I'd rather still be full when people come in. And so it feels a little bit unnatural to me to like be letting things go down to zero in a way that I normally wouldn't. So that's probably another, I assume that might be happening with other folks too. And you were talking about with the trickle down, I'm sure other people are feeling that down the line. And so I think that's also going to be the time where we figure out, okay, what does it really look like? And what can we do? What worked last year? And what do we have to, because the tariffs aren't going away. There's still going to be unpredictability in the supply chain for various other reasons. And we don't know what that's going to look like and how, what like backups can we find for things or what kind of focus do we have? It does feel we're leaning more into trying to have the capacity to do more community events and like local collaborations with restaurants and event spaces and teaching groups and that sort of thing.
I love that. That's
yeah.
Great.
So I think that's what we're doing for the holidays a little bit to help lean into the community connection that I think people are feeling and different kind of like fundraising and collaborations that way. Like last night we had a craft night with a little mini wedding chapel event studio that is
in our
complex.
Oh my gosh, that's cool.
So it was called Neighborly Craft Night and we just brought up some supplies to make a card for your neighbor, make a friendship bracelet, whatever. And it was free, but we asked for a donation and all the donations are going to fill the community fridge in our neighborhood. So
I love that, Jen. That's
yeah,
awesome.
We're trying to do a few more things like that. And then I tried a couple of like exclusive things with brands this year. So we designed a map tote exclusive. And so we have a mini tote that's just at Tiny Turns. That's Somerville focused. And I would love to like think about how to do more things like that with people we've had longstanding relationships with and that sort of thing. But mostly we're going to reconfigure the store. So that'll give me a little bit of an opportunity to understand, like, can we make more space for the different kinds of things that people are looking for that maybe I didn't consider before because they're kind of big or like take up a lot of shelf space or that sort of thing. So strategically and logistically, I'm thinking that way. I'm still going to go to the trade shows and hopefully I'll have a better idea of what we're looking at by then. Yeah. But yeah, it's hard to know.
It's hard to know. And I think, too, it's an interesting year. You know, I've been in business for a long time. You've been in business for a long time. In the past, when things were a little more predictable, we could look at what the past year did and build off of that, do more of what was working, pull back on things that weren't. We could budget a little more easily and figure out what our expenses were. I feel like things have been off kilter all year. And well, I know they have. I mean, I'm seeing inside of all sorts of brands, businesses, and I'm talking to all sorts of retailers. Like, I know folks in all angles of the industry are being impacted, myself included. And it's harder to plan. And so I guess more for the listener's sake than yours, I just want to say, like, friends, it's okay if things feel kind of like uncomfortable or awkward right now. Like, you're going to have to make some changes and you're going to have to, like, at least for me, I'm doing shorter term planning. I'm not planning for the whole year. I'm doing like 3 and 6 month plans. I'm trying to stay agile where we can because that's one of our superpowers as a small business, our agility to shift. But I do appreciate you sharing some of the highs and lows and some of the things that maybe brands or products or others in the industry aren't aware of, some of the challenges and points of friction that you've been dealing with and other retail shops have been dealing with this year. I'm sorry about your floors too. That stinks.
Yeah, it does. Because the thing is, I've always been business optimistic is a good way to put it. Like I'm not risk averse. I'm pretty willing to swing for the fences if I think something seems like a good idea or like a good investment. And I think I'm the most conservative that I've ever been since thinking about the store, opening it and trying different things. I do think that I'm like at a point where I'm a little less likely to try something completely new than I have been in the past 6 years. And so I guess that's good news for our like longstanding brands or things that we know really work. But yeah, I think the other pattern that I noticed, people really want to laugh.
Yes, we want lateness.
Yeah. It's really funny because when I think about what the store looks like a little bit right now, is there's like the whole like kind of calming, soothing, pretty vibe. And then the like, fuck this shit vibe. It's like right next to each other. And it's there's like a very heavy dose of dark sarcasm next to pretty hopefulness. And I think that makes sense.
It makes sense. And frankly, it's probably the same customer because we all waver between like F this and also like, no, everything's going to be okay. Everything's great.
Yeah. We're all in this together.
Exactly. No, I know. I know. Well, Jen, this was a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you for sharing behind the scenes of what you're facing and what some of the conversations you've been having with other shop owners around this. Obviously, the brands in our community are ready and willing to step up and help you guys any which way we can. We value your partnerships. And I know that you value the partnerships with the brands that you have too. So just, you know, I think having these candid conversations in a way that people can hear like, hey, it's not me or, you know, like I'm not doing anything wrong. This is just hard for everybody. It's helpful. But also, again, thank you for what you do for small business. I think it's really impactful.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody, but we still love your thing. All of you makers who are listening to this, if we've bought from you before and we're not buying now, it's not because we don't still love your stuff.
Right. We're just trying to get by. No, the amount of retail shop owners I've talked to are like, we are just trying to make things work. We're trying to make sure the cash flow works. We're trying to make sure that the staffing works. We're trying to make sure we have the right product mix. Like, it's just, I mean, the challenges you guys face are very different than the challenges the brands face. They're both difficult in their own right, but they're just different, you know? And so understanding what the other's going through, I think, is really beneficial as we're continuing to strengthen relationships with everybody. So again, I think 2026, what you're talking about with your community programs and the events that you're hosting, I've been telling all my clients, like, we got to get back to basics. This is like relationship-based business. You need to connect with your stores. You need to connect with your customers. You need to go above and beyond to build those relationships.
I do think, and it's hard from a product-based business perspective, but I think some people can do it. Depending on what they're doing is, I think probably if I had to pinpoint something that I'll be looking for more, that I'm leaning into a little bit more, are things that I can customize to my community a little bit. So we're getting a few more, even if we have to buy them in bulk, like we can put Somerville on it, or we can put like, we don't have enough space to mess with like names and things like that, because that's like too many. But I think that's why, in some senses, Zodiac things always do well, because people feel like a little bit connected to that particular personalization. But if there is like some way that you can think of or let a brand know that you can personalize something to them, a store know that you can make something that's in their color pink or like whatever it is, that might be the key for a lot of places, because I think it's going to be leaning harder into like what makes me feel connected, what makes me feel closer to my community, what like hits that note.
Yeah, 1,000%. I agree. All right, Jen, I'll let you go. I know your time is valuable. Thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing these insights with us.
Thanks for having me. Always good to talk to you.
Always good to talk to you too. A big thanks to Jen for joining me today and for being so open about what she's seeing inside of independent retail right now. Conversations like this really matter because it helps all of us, brands and also retailers alike, kind of understand the challenges that are happening behind the scenes. Again, talking about things like shifting customer behavior and the unpredictable buying patterns, the issues with tariffs. I know that we've been talking a lot here on the podcast about how that's impacting the brands within our community, but also I think it's important for you to hear how it's impacting the shops, because it does then have a ripple down effect for how they're buying and things like that. So again, these types of facts and insights are not just interesting to hear, but they also help you make decisions for your business. And when you understand what buyers are juggling and some of the friction they're feeling, you can make smarter decisions about your product line, your sales, your strategies, all the things that you're doing. Because, you know, too, the other thing here is like, one of the things that resonated with me as I was listening to Jen is that when one of us thrives, all of us thrive. And so having a deeper understanding of what other people are going through, having that empathy around what they're navigating, does help us build that relationship in a stronger way, which does lead to more sales and connection too. So anyhow, if you're interested in selling wholesale, but you're not sure where to start, if this episode piqued your interest, I do want you to check out our Is Wholesale Right For You workshop. It's a free 25-minute, highly actionable, on-demand workshop, meaning you can sign up for it now and you can start it right away. And it's going to help you understand core wholesale concepts and get started with action steps. So you can sign up for that workshop at proof2product.com/workshop. Again, that's proof2product.com/workshop. All right. Thanks for tuning in and listening to the end. I will be back next week with a very short episode before we head out on winter break. But thanks again for tuning in.